are actually having a summer in contrast to last summer's flood. What was that? What was that thing we had last summer? I don't know, but it wasn't summer. It's a good time to sit back as you reflect on our lives. And I'm hoping that we can hear this message in a new way. Perhaps because we're not entirely French, although that would not apply to Marcus. But I'm so glad he's taking 24 hours off, or at least 12. I don't know how many, but yeah, we've heard, many of us, the story before of Mary and Martha. We've heard the comparison. We say, oh, that person's a Martha. She's always doing too much, right? Oh, she's a Martha. Oh, I'm a Martha. We don't ever point at somebody and say, oh, she's a Mary. She sits around. But we definitely say the Martha thing. And Jesus does rebuke Martha. That's true. But I've been reading a woman named Suzanne Guthrie, and she has a great website on it, kind of a meditative website on these readings, called Edge of the Enclosure. And this is what she writes. She says, you know, the rebuke was not because Martha served instead of listened. That's not the rebuke. Jesus himself came as one who serves. He likes people who serve. The rebuke was for the anxiety and the distraction, and that distraction overturned Martha's desire to be able to offer true hospitality. You understand? Jesus is very particular. Martha, you are anxious and troubled. You are distracted. That's what he speaks about, not the service. Do you remember ever hosting a party and being too busy to actually enjoy it? Have you ever, like, thrown a party or had an event and you couldn't enjoy it because you were too busy? I have. I used to do it. It was called holiday meals. And, you know, I'd run around and I'd do this and you put this in the oven and you have to time this and that. And you get through the whole event, and like, you never even sat down. It's one of the reasons I don't have holiday meals anymore. I want to enjoy the event. I want to be present. I don't want to be in the kitchen, back there by myself, running around. I want to be present. Some people are able to cook elaborate meals and still enjoy the event and be present to what's happening. I always think of Karen Webster. Karen Brower had the gift of hospitality. Still does. She could do that and still be fully engaged and a part. And I'm just not one of those people. I get anxious. And Martha couldn't do it either. Her service became a distraction to her love of both Jesus and her love of other people. And that's what we need to learn here from Martha. I don't know about you, but I can become a Martha really easily. It's my Achilles heel. I can get into the service thing, and I forget the whole point. I can lose the forest for the trees on the service thing. I really can. It's what used to happen at Bible Adventure. That's why we had to change it so radically. I was really becoming anxious and distracted in the serving. But who doesn't get distracted? I mean, who doesn't get anxious now and again? Right? Have you ever found yourself doing too much good in too many places at the same time? Doing too many things, too many good things, in too many directions. Think about that. Some of you are prone to this. And did you know that that's one of the ways we sabotage our own lives? It's the way we sabotage our own lives. When we go in too many directions at once, we thwart our ability and our desire to offer what I'm going to call true hospitality. And what I mean by hospitality isn't about just serving meals, although in Mary and Martha's case it was. In Martha's case, it was all about the meal, actually. Her sense of hospitality got really small. It was about, you know, doling out the spaghetti and meatballs or whatever. But true hospitality is much broader than that. It's about being welcoming. And Mary was certainly engaged in that. So don't let your understanding of hospitality get too narrow, because I'm going to use that word. But what I mean by that is making a place for people and welcoming people into our lives. Thomas Merton wrote this, and he's one of my favorites. He said, to allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit to too many projects, To want to help everyone in everything is itself to succumb to the violence of our times. Or Jewel puts it this way. The tyranny of the urgency, telephones, email, cell phone, is well known to most of us. As more and more of our living becomes encumbered with this sense of urgency, we get stressed out and burnt out. And get this, we burn out over the many things which are not finally urgent at all. It may come as a surprise to you, to some of us, that we really don't have to do everything. We really don't. But don't kid yourself. That's not an excuse to do nothing. Jesus said this. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. One thing. One thing. What is that one thing? You can tell I was cruising deep in the archives this week. Soren Kierkegaard, one of my favorites from the 1800s. This is his prayer. It's a little bit in Old English, but I think you'll get the point. He does it with regards to this story. He said, "What is all this striving? But a half-finished work, if he doesn't know thee. Thee, the one, who art one thing and who art all. So may thou give to the intellect wisdom to comprehend that one thing. To the heart, sincerity to receive this understanding. To the will, purity that wills only one thing. In prosperity, may thou grant perseverance to will one thing. Amid distractions, collectedness to will one thing. In suffering, patience to will one thing." What is that one thing that Jesus was talking about? One thing is needful, he said to Martha. One thing. The bonus, it's the bonanza. Jesus, the one thing. Jesus would say, is me. And that's why Mary is praised for choosing the better portion. Not because making dinner is bad, and sitting on the carpet is good, but because Jesus must be the one thing, and the first focus. And then everything else will fall into its rightful place. This is not new to you. This is not new to any of you. But it's important that we remember. That we be reminded. And to sit today in the beautiful summer and say, what is that one thing? What is that one thing in your life? Really, truly. As my friend John Hobbs said, sit yourself down and have yourself a talk. What is that one thing? Is it God? Or is it something else? What is that one thing? Is it your future? And I don't care if you're 18 or 80. What is that one thing? Is it your future? What is that one thing? Is it your past? What is that one thing in your life? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your garden? Is it your life, living day to day? What is your one thing? You can have all those things. Those are gifts for God. But never mistake the gifts for the giver. We do it all the time, mistaking the gifts for the giver. And you say in your head, isn't it enough to just love my family? Isn't it enough to just try and go from day to day? Isn't it enough to just get up in the morning and see what's going to happen with my life? Why is this so important? Because if you don't get the one thing right, nothing's right. No. And while I don't know everyone intimately in this room, a lot of us have been walking this journey enough to know that, and you do know that. If you don't have the one thing, nothing else is right. When all that we do really is centered and grounded in who Jesus is, when our priorities are right, guess what? Then we can really welcome other people into our world. We can really welcome the other things and the other people in our world without them becoming the unhealthy focus of our life. And that is what I'm going to call real hospitality. And I mean that in the biggest and broadest and most wonderful sense of the word. Because what we're, so many of us get involved in kind of evangelism, making sure that people know who Jesus is, how do I share my faith, and we get all anxious about those things. But if we're living the one thing, as the one thing, it's amazing how things just fall into order. This is written by a monk, but it works for all of us in community. He writes this: today, the great enemies of any kind of hospitality is busyness, fear, and professionalism. If I don't have time to talk to a person who's called out for help, hospitality is out of the question. The advent of a guest, like the unanticipated needs of my fellow people, it's a gauge of our use of time. If we have no time for the guest in our lives, and what I'm going to say, if you have no time in your life for the clerk at the store, if you have no time in your life for the people who come into it, then your day is too full. Busyness can be an independent sin against the stranger, or it can be excused, concocted, because we don't want to say we're afraid, or we want to stay uninvolved with people around us. But when Jesus is the one thing, then how we relate to other people begins to line up just right. And that's why our relationship with God and our relationship with people can never be totally separate. They're not separate events. They're not separate relationships. How often do you shrink back from an encounter with somebody because you just don't want to get involved? It's about time for stinky AT hikers to appear, by the way. Or how about the grouchy old man at the checkout counter? Or the emotional needs, emotionally needy family members? Actually, it's funny, I had written this sermon, and then I had an interesting encounter last night. There I am at this reunion down at the Baptist church, and my phone rings, and I kept my phone with me because the boys were back in the cottage by themselves, so I kept my phone with me. And I look at the number, and I don't recognize the number. And this is one's really weird, Marcus, because it was a 557 number. And I answered it, and it was this guy from Jay who somehow found my number and was looking for assistance on a rent in Jay. Now, we've talked about this, and Earl and I have talked about this. I think we even talked about it in the ministry, but Jay's getting a little far out of field, out of our kind of service area. You know, we don't have a ton of time. We'd like to save it for, we'd like to utilize, we'd like to be good stewards of this area because there isn't any church up here except for us. So we're trying to be good stewards. So I get this call from this guy in Jay. And I'm at this church event, you know, which is talking about, you know, being good, being loving, being kind, being neighbors. And then I've got this other, and I'm trying to figure out what's the right thing to do. What's the right thing to do? I don't know this guy for anything. I don't know what the deal is. I really just thought it was, you know, Sam or something regards. So I really want to get back in there and deal, you know, go be with my friends. And I'm standing outside. It was just the weirdest thing. And all of this stuff is kicking into me. Like, how can I be focused and present to him? You know, my first initial was like, oh, I just want to get this. This isn't really relevant to me. I can't really help. Let me just get off the phone as quickly as I can. It's true confession. But then I'm thinking, but Lord, that's not what we're supposed to do. But I'm limited in terms of what I can actually physically help this guy. So how can I be of service? Because all this stuff is kind of flying through my head. So I start talking to him, and you know, he wants to tell his story, and so I hear his story, and then I say, okay, well, this is the deal on my end. I can't really just like physically give you cash. Okay, I can't really help you financially. So let's brainstorm for a minute. You know, and I start thinking about what are my resources in Jay. You know, and I go through, you know, Western Maine Community Action. I go through, you know, the various churches. I have a friend who's a pastor in Livermore Falls, and that's pretty close. So I try to help him get connected. And I, you know, I finally said, so are you active in a church down there? You know? And he says, no, I'm not. The last church I was active in was the something church in Mexico. And I said, well, and that's where you want to start. City New Carver. Of course, I'm also calling his bluff. Like, was he really? I have no idea. I'm hoping to God it was true. I said, well, call them. I said, and ask them what their contacts are down in Jay. Because, you know, everything I had suggested. Oh, no, I've already tried that. Oh, no, I've already tried that. Oh, no, I've already tried that. I'm like, okay, how about this? I said, well, then, go to your faith community. Well, I don't know how to do it. I said, well, then go to this church in Mexico. And he's like, oh, I could do that. I said, yeah, and hopefully someone there will know who you are. I said, because it's about who you know. It's about relationship. And I encouraged him to be in relationship. And then I said, do you have transportation? He said, you got to find yourself a place to worship tomorrow morning. So get out Fulbert. There's a lot of churches in Jay. I said, open Fulbert. It's Jay and Livermore. I said, my friend, the Baptist, First Baptist Church, Livermore Falls. You know, go see John Hall. I said, you know, got to get yourself in church. And he was like, you know, I could hear in the back of his head, going, all I wanted was help with the rent. You know, I'm like, no. but that's not really going to help him. Because it's the main thing, it's the first thing. That's the first thing. It's that one thing. That is the one thing. Hospitality. How do we make space for the people in our lives? I'll admit it right away. My family and I went to see a movie the other night. Killers. Seen it? Killers. You think people are going to be... It's actually a comedy, although comedies these days are kind of oddly conceived. If you ever saw Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it's kind of in that genre. It's not at the Rangeley Theater. You only get to see one movie at a time at the Rangeley Theater. We saw Killers. It was actually kind of funny. Pretty high on the gratuitous violence scale, but pretty funny. Because the gist is this. Spy falls in love with normal girl and wants a normal life. So he leaves the spying business and joins suburbia. Always craved to live a normal life until all the neighbors start trying to kill him. Very humorously trying to kill him. Very ineffably started trying to kill him. They were sleepers planted there by his father-in-law just in case he hurt his little girl. And somehow they get activated. So all these people started like coming out and trying to kill him. It's actually hysterically funny. Not real hospitality. You know, when your neighbors are trying to get you, it is not hospitality. And I think of our lives when we are not really available, when we're really almost out to get somebody. It's not hospitality. How hospitable are you with the people in your life? I'm going to finish with my favorite, it's like one of my favorite quotes of all time. I even put it in the bulletin for you, in the fold-out by Henry Nouwen, because it's one of my most favorite quotes, not only about CFO camp that I'm involved with, but also what I believe the church is. And probably, you know, it probably even makes sense for Moose River, any kind of Christian community, and I love this. He says, Christian hospitality is primarily the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. Hospitality is not a subtle invitation to adopt a lifestyle or approach, but the gift of a chance for the guest to find his own. That's what we offer the world. A space for them to find God. A space for them to find the one thing. A space for them to find themselves. Not a space that they can be just like you or just like our church. Place to find the one thing. Your ministry to God happens out in the world in which you live, not here in this chapel building, not even here on Sunday mornings. And so this week I invite you to keep in your mind that idea of making space for people around you, making space so that they might experience Jesus in your hospitality. Keep that idea of making space. Did you know that in medieval art, Martha here is often portrayed with something called a La Taresque. Do you know this? A La Taresque. Do you know what that is? It is a dragon-like monster that represents anxiety and anxiousness. And in medieval paintings, she has something tied on her waist, tamed and tied to her girdle. And it is this monster of anxiety. Look for it. Google. It is fascinating. She has tamed the monster. Her calling is to tame the monster of anxiety that is attached to her so that she can be present for Jesus. And that's our call. We can do that too. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, you have made space for us. And we have come to you. And in this hour, we have come to you. Lord, you have made space for us. God, may we make space for others. Space where they can experience you. Maybe through our lives, experience your love, experience your forgiveness, experience your caring. And Lord, as we go about our lives this week, may the one thing really, truly be the one thing. And we invite you to cause on one more letting other things, the doing of other things and the anxiety about other things, take your rightful place in our lives. God, our lives are full, blessedly full, but not without some anxiety. God, we remember those today who are in grief and in mourning. We think today of Donovan's family. And yet another whole grief today, remembering David and his birthday. We think of those today who are ill, who are fighting for their lives. May their lives not be defined by their illness, but by who they are in you. And give them the strength to persevere. Give them the healing that is yours. And God, we rejoice that all good gifts come from your hand. We thank you for Heidi and Marcus's new house here, their little home away from home. May it be a blessing to their family and a place of great rest and peace and joy. God, we thank you for Debbie and the Bannigans and their new place. May that also be a place of hospitality. And God, we think of the folks down at Henderson today and folks out at Moose River, folks who are pursuing their faith. Hover over places where people are gathering to look toward you. May your spirit be alive and moving in amongst your people this day. And bind us together with that spirit as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, as we sing our closing song,